As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, and the sun is arising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show me showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Tuesday, April the 28th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com, little website, vocallocal.org. Another good one, OzarksVoter.info. You might want to check our sites out today. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room, or pick up the telephone and call in for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air or to take Oracle with you. There's a way that you can do that with your telephone. Listen to it wherever you go throughout the workday today. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. And, of course, your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org, host@vocallocal.org. I was able to make great progress and reduce the vast number of emails in my email box over the evening, so we're ready for you. Come on, send some more. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's Box 96, Exeter, Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647. Here's a big shout-out. Liberty Radio and Micro 1650 AM. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local. We hope to expand the number of micros that are picking this broadcast up on a daily basis. Thank you again, gentlemen. Again, our websites are www.vocallocal.org and OzarksVoter.info. The listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room is open. Gold is under attack again as the money masters strive to keep it below 900. We'll talk about that quickly. Babylon and Egypt, an inquiry into the origin and history of anarchism, continues today. Of course, we'll take your calls and much more. Let's go into those market reports for Tuesday, April the 28th, 2009. Active trading New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was trading off $18.70 to $887.50, well below the $900 mark. Keep an eye on it. Silver off 47 cents in early trading, $12.43 an ounce. Platinum took a major whack, hit it with the big stick, went down $72. That's 6 times 12 there. $72 now trading at $1,068. Palladium off also, $13 down so far in today's trading at $211 a troy ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed yesterday at 8,025. That was down off its high previous. NASDAQ was also down yesterday, trading 1,679.41. The USDX up 24 basis points, trading at 85.88. And the crude oil off $1.05. At $49.09, trading just under $50 a barrel for light sweet crude. The lows and the highs in the spot market so far today, 883.40 for a low, 904.40 for a high, a pretty close spread actually, 10 bucks thereabouts and change. We'll pick it up on the other side of this break and be right back. Stay with us.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back right here on that Tuesday morning, April 28th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts, and in the previous segment, we went into the market reports. Let's cover those a little bit again for those that were away on their station IDs and weather reports and so on. Gold in the active trading, New York City, as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was off $18.70, trading below $890 at $887.50. Strongly down as well was silver, off 47 cents at $12.43 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market again, 883.40 for a low, 904.40 for a high. They're off $6.70. Gold is off $6.70 year to year for a 0.75% decline in value. The spot market closes in 7 hours. Let's go into our foreign exchange rates and close out the market reports. Foreign exchange rates, our little basket of currencies that we're following each morning here on Become Vocal Local. Canadian dollar running about 82 cents. It was off a bit today. 1.2222 is your multiplier there on the U.S. dollar, but 82 cents will get you a Canadian dollar. Mexican pesos now back below the 8-cent mark, trading at 7 cents. It's 14.0109 pesos to the dollar, 7 cents for the peso. It's up a little bit today. The hog squirts didn't bother too much. The euro, trading about $1.30. The British pound, $1.47. So if you're going overseas or if you're just following these basket of currencies concepts, there you go. It was very interesting. I woke up early this morning, as I have the habit now to do, and went on the internet quite early this morning and looked at what was going on. And I noticed that about midnight, Greenwich Mean Time, or 8 o'clock p.m. New York time, just minutes before the Hong Kong market opened, there was a big sale, apparently. It looked it's very strong. A big sale. It's just a straight line drop in the price of gold. The first drive down, it happened several times, happened three times. The first one happened between the $905 to $900 range. It's a straight line, folks. It's just somebody came in and sold enough to drive it down right there. And then just a few minutes after that, not much more than a couple of minutes, the second hit happened, and it went from $900 to $895. So both cases were dropping a $5 bill at a time. And then the third occurrence took it from $900 down to $895, and that was a rather ragged line. There were other participants in it. Nevertheless, we went from $917 to the $897 range in a New York minute, if you can say so. So we can see that in the Asian market, as we've been hearing with the China finally revealing their presence in the gold market and giving some tonnages, and other Asian traders in the market, we can see that they come in and they have the power to manipulate there just as much as we do here. Let's go into an article here off Bloomberg, get an idea for what might be happening. Gold scrapping. We've been talking all about that scrap gold, that scrap jewelry, and so on and so forth. Gold scrapping. One thing I've been emphasizing is jewelry, but there's other scrap in the marketplace. You know, if you're working jewelry or if you're working anything in the high-tech industry where you're in the manufacturing business and you use gold as part of your manufacturing process, of course, you'd probably have trays full of gold locked up in the vaults overnight. Scraps, drillings, filings, and all kinds of manner and things. And they may melt them down periodically and then sell them off. So anyway, gold scrapping may have reached 500 tons, the GFMS says, by Nicholas Larkin, Bloomberg Today's News. Gold scrap supplies probably exceeded 500 metric tons in the first quarter, about the same as global mine production. Underline that. Highlight it, if you will. Gold scrap supplies probably exceeded 500 metric tons in the first quarter, about the same as global mine production. So the scrap market's pretty important. Scrap supplies will be much lower in the second quarter unless prices rise aggressively, the GFMS chairman Philip Klapwick said today in a presentation in Zurich. Scrapping will expand this year after jumping 27% to a record 1,218 tons in 2008. Now, if you've been monitoring or following this broadcast for any time, you know that we've been following the SPDR Gold Trust, and we find them to have approximately 1,550 tons of gold in their custodial care unit in England, if there's any truth to any of that. So we can see that they just basically have pulled scrap out of the market. In fact, if you were just doing nothing else than buying up scrap, you had your big dollar ETF vacuum cleaner on the market, you could absorb the scrap as it came onto the market. And they may have done that. Here's another quote. We had a perfect storm for scrapping in the first quarter because of distressed selling for economic reasons and inventory disposals by some jewelers, Klapwick said in an interview after the presentation. Don't know what his presentation was all about or what he was presenting. Here's another quote from him. We need much higher prices to sustain that rate of scrapping. Klapwick reiterated GFMS's forecast. And I'm sorry, I don't know what GFMS is. It's something just doesn't ring a bell for me right at the moment. GFMS's forecast this month that gold may reach a record this year as demand for a hedge against inflation outpaces the expanding scrap supply and weaker consumption by jewelers. He also said that the metal may fall to the low 800s before then. Keep that in mind. A lot of the gold bugs say, gold's going higher and higher and higher. Well, I've been finding plenty of articles where people are saying that gold may fall below that $800 level before then, he says. Continuing bullion, which is trading at 11% below an 11-month high of $1,006.29 set in February, dropped to $864.97 announced on April the 17th, the lowest in almost 3 months. Here's a quote from Clapwick. He says, "I'm not convinced we're out of the woods yet. We might see a drop again over the next few months, and that would be a tremendous buying opportunity." And I would agree with that, Clapwick. I would agree with that. You can start buying gold under $800 an ounce, and you're going to be dollars in time ahead. Just a programming note. I got an announcement in the chat room from our friends Rex, I believe it is, at KTAE 1330 AM. That 94.3 Elgin, Texas is also carrying Become Vocal Local, and I thank him for that, and I thank you gentlemen for carrying this broadcast. Get this message out to a wider and wider audience. Back again to the financial news, Reuters, New York, April 27th, yesterday's news, U.S. gold drops on profit-taking after a China rally. So we see this China rally this morning as well. Here we go, New York, April 27th, New York gold futures dropped on Monday as a strong dollar triggered profit-taking after the previous session's rally to $900, and as platinum tumbled amid uncertainty over U.S. automakers. And we're going to check that out a little bit in detail. But this is kind of one of those bullet point things that I like from Reuters. From time to time you find these. They spare us all of the gory details and just give us the facts. Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. Gold for June delivery settled down $5.90 at 908.20 on the COMEX. It ranged from 905.80 to 919.70, which marked its highest price since April 1st, April Fool's Day. We'll be back right on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
Would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, "I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me"? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at PureBulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at PureBulk.com.
Oh,
And we are back once again. Let's continue along on this market news and get this behind us. The combination of the dollar rise against the euro and sharply lower commodity prices led a 3% drop in crude oil prices, according to Reuters again, and it led to profit-taking in gold future traders said. June futures climbed above 900 after China revealed on Friday that it secretly raised its gold reserves by three quarters since 2003. We reported on that. Increasing its holdings to 1,054 tons, China's gold hoarding news did not have a dynamic impact on gold markets because of the country's very gradual increase in bullion holdings over the years, James Steele, chief commodities analyst at HSBC, said. And yes, it was very gradual, very quiet, on the sly, but gradualism works that way. The next thing you know, they'll have all the gold in the world. Gold initially supported by a weaker stock market due to worries of a possible global pandemic after a swine flu virus has killed more than 100 people in Mexico and spreads to other parts of the world. Well, swine flu worries, however, only provided background support to gold for now, as financial markets did not appear to be very concerned, and neither have I been concerned. I do wash my hands periodically throughout the day. India's jewelry sales on the Akshaya Tritiya, a major gold festival, buying festival, is likely to be down 20 to 40% on year to year. This was written in China. The authors of this were Fan Tang and Margarita Choi, and thank you very much for that. Let's continue. We'll just take the words as they wrote them this time. The number of short sellers increased as net long positions decreased and open interest climbed in this week, blah, blah, blah. Well, what we can see in all of that is that the important part of this was that China admits its gold hoarding news. It didn't have a dynamic impact. They did it very gradually over the years. They're now at 1,054 tons. So we just keep adding up all of these tons and tons and tons of gold. We know that there is, you know, just gobs and a bunch of it out there, but there's only so much of it out there. And because there's a limited amount of it, and it's very difficult to extract it out of the ground, the price, the demand is always going to be there. That's just the way it is. But if you haven't been following, and I hope you're following, what's going on in platinum, remember the articles that I read in regard to Russia thinking about coming out with a platinum-based coin, that we also have platinum coins coming into the collectible market in the U.S. in a platinum gold coin set and that sort of thing. Watch and don't be surprised if this platinum price continues to go down until major purchases can be made. But understand this as well, that when you're, as far as the miners are concerned, it takes many more tons of ore to get this platinum than it does even gold. So, you know, scarcity, demand, all that sort of stuff, it has more to do than just catalytic converters. But here, General Motors on Monday said it would cut debt, close plants, slash jobs, and drop the Pontiac brand as part of a sweeping restructuring that would see the automaker emerge under the ownership and control of the United States government and its major union. Let's find out a little bit more about that. The United Auto Workers said to get 55% of Chrysler ownership and board seats. This by John Lippert and Mike Ramsey out of Bloomberg, April 28th, today's news. The UAW, or the United Auto Workers Union's Retiree Healthcare Fund, will own 55% of Chrysler LLC in exchange for cutting in half the automaker's $10.6 billion cash percent of Chrysler, $10.6 billion cash obligation to the trust. People familiar with the matter said. Here's the rest of the story. Under the terms of the contract, the trust, that's Chrysler LLC, the trust would get representation on the company's board. No, it would be the United Auto Workers Union Retiree Healthcare Fund. My, it's a lot of U's and R's. The United Auto Workers Union Retirees Healthcare Fund, that would be the trust. The trust would get representation on the company, that would be company, Chrysler LLC, board of directors. said two people briefed on the deal who asked not to be named because the matter is private. Well, it's not very private now. Out and it's on the, it's going viral, son. It's on the web and it's on the shortwave too. Anyway, let's continue. The tentative agreement was approved unanimously by UAW leaders yesterday and will be sent to union locals for ratification. One of the people said Chrysler, operating with $4 billion in U.S. loans, faces on April the 30th. That's not very far away. We could almost throw rocks that far. On April 30th, deadline to restructure its costs or risk losing government support. They've already gotten $4 billion. How much more support could we give them? Here's a quote. With employees effectively sharing the risk, so now I guess Chrysler's going to be like Ramey's or Price Cutters or one of these, Target or, I don't know, one of these employee-owned companies. With employees effectively sharing the risk, this could play to the advantage of the ailing company, said Howard Wheeldon, a senior strategist at BGC Partners LP in London. The UAW role, if confirmed, may be the only feasible way of moving forward, he added. The U.S. Treasury, which still is negotiating on Chrysler's behalf with the company, secured lenders, has little room to give the banks more equity. That's the U.S. Treasury. Fiat SPA would get 20% of the company to start, with the ability to increase ownership to 35% by hitting performance goals. The Treasury would keep 10%, so we can see it's going to be the Fiat, Chrysler, Daimler, Pontiac. Oh my, what a mess. Do we even recognize that going by on the highway? I'm not sure. The Treasury, again, will keep 10%. Sean Morgan, a spokeswoman for Auburn Hills, Michigan-based Chrysler, declined to comment on the tentative agreement, as it still needs to be ratified. Weak Chrysler products. The Fiat connection may not be the best approach for saving Chrysler, though. Employee ownership through the union may help. The weakness remains Chrysler's product base and how quickly this can be adapted without Fiat's help. I don't know what the kind of cars they would have. Fiat SUV, Cummins turbo diesel, commuter vehicle or something. I'm confused as I'll get out here. Instead of contributing $8.8 billion to a retiree health care trust, Chrysler will give the union trust shares of the company and a promissory note for $4.59 billion that will be paid in installments with 9% interest until the year 2023. One of the people said, I don't know which one of the people it was, but one of them said it. This reduces the upfront cash Chrysler would have to pay under its 2007 contract agreement with the Detroit-based union. So the union's equity in Chrysler is valued at $4.2 billion. If it can sell the shares for more, the Treasury would get the difference, one of the people said. That might have been the guy that was standing by the water cooler, I'm not sure. Workers also agreed to changes in work classifications, including the number of types of skilled trades. The contract also has a provision that all new hires for the company and the factories will make between $14 and $16 an hour, up to 25% of the total Chrysler UAW workforce. The increase is from 20% in earlier contracts, etc. Separately, GM said it will be at least half-owned by the U.S. government under a plan to slash its debt and cut dealer ranks nearly in half. So we can see that the unions will own the car companies, the gov will own the car companies, the employees will own the car companies, and we'll get to pay for the carbon credits. Interesting. Well, see how it goes. As GM goes, so goes America. Dubai, again, out of the Business International Middle East, BIME. Dubai. Well, we'll have to pick up Dubai on the other side of this break. Stay with us and we'll close out the financial news.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information, is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Now, we'll go into this a little bit here about Dubai. Once again, the call-in numbers are 866-841-1065, and in the Austin, Texas area, you can call in at 512-904-8014 if you've got something pressing on your mind. The Dubai ranks first among cities with the highest average residential property prices at U.S. $7,000 per square meter, by the way. Per square meter. Rather large price per meter, wouldn't you say? I never heard of selling houses by square meters, but if you check out the international city in Dubai, you'll find that most of it is high-rise. But let's go into this article again, Business International Middle East. The author was staff from April the 28th. That would be today. Dubai has ranked first among 59 cities in 34 emerging countries with the highest average residential property prices, recording a rate of around $7,000 U.S. per square meter as of February of 2009. According to the latest market data released by REIDIN.com, the world's first and leading global online information services provider. The rest of this article seemed to be much of a infomercial, so I went through and did some strong editing. Get down to the facts here. According to figures, as of February 2009, the average rental price for residential units in Dubai downtown Central Business District is between U.S. $17.54 per square meter and U.S. $56.41 per square meter monthly. That's rental price per square meter. Gives me an idea what I might want to do with mine. Nevertheless, while buying apartments in the same area costs between $3,044 and $9,861 per square meter. 9 square feet, folks. That ain't much. By referring to the information provided by market data, blah, 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 market professionals and users can make more informed choices, blah, 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 whether to rent or simply buy property within the city of their choice. So if you're wondering where you can go on the planet Earth where you might be able to find a place to live other than the United States, you might consider going to REIDIN.com, the world's first and leading global online information services provider. Again, dropping down again, our commitment to growth of the real estate business is driving us to further enhance our products by launching new features, blah, blah, blah. Here's another note. Let's see if I can find it. Where is it? Moreover, yes, let's see if I can find it. Yes, somewhere. Forget about it. Bunch of infomercial material. Just an interesting note there, though. $7,000 per square meter in Dubai for rental property, residential property, excuse me. Let's go into the U.S. Home vacancies rise to a U.S. record amid the recession. Kathleen Howley, Bloomberg, April 27th, yesterday's news. A record 19.1 million homes stood unoccupied in the first quarter of the as U.S. homeownership rates fell as the recession sapped the demand for real estate. 19.1 million homes empty. I'd say that the market has lots of room for buyers. The number of vacant homes, including foreclosures, properties for sale, and vacation properties, jumped from 18.6 million a year ago. So there's your 19.1 million, and the stats include foreclosures, vacant homes, properties for sale, and vacation properties. Households that own their own residence declined for the third straight quarter to 67.3%. You can turn that around and look at the 33% of households that are renters. The U.S. financial crisis and falling home prices have shattered the confidence of home buyers. The percentage of people who said they plan to buy a home in the next 6 months dropped to a 26-year low in March, according to the Conference Board in New York. Job losses will continue to erode real estate demand, our key phrase there, demand, according to an April 23rd report by Mark Fleming, the chief economist for First American CoreLogic, Inc. in Santa Ana, California. We expect, here's a quote, we expect home prices to continue to decline into 2010 as economic conditions and excess housing inventories dampen the prices, Fleming said in the report. Quote, decreases are now being driven by rising unemployment and a high volume of distressed home sales. The percentage of all U.S. homes empty and for sale, known as the vacancy rate, fell to 2.7% in the first quarter. It hit an all-time high of 2.9% in the first and the fourth quarters of 2008, the Census Bureau said. Giving up. The vacancy rate fell as the number of homes on the market declined because they were sold or because their owners gave up trying to market them. So our documents here, our figures here, are as subject to variation as the unemployment figures are, because as homes go off the market, you know, you usually take a 90-day listing on a piece of property. At least it used to be that way when I was a realtor. You'd secure a 90-day listing to sell their property, and if it expired, you would either re-up your listing, renew your listing, or just another company would pick it up and then they would try. And so listings, the number of listings in a in an area is not always an indicator of new houses coming onto the market. Sometimes they're just new listings that keep coming back every 90 days, similar to unemployment. But when your unemployment benefits run out, they run out. With listings, you can continue to list a property until you finally sell it. But of course, when you have a piece of property, especially one that you're living in, listed for sale, the inconvenience is just about unbearable. You're always trying to live in a furniture showroom, and if you don't keep your house just absolutely spick and span, then your realtor loses interest in showing it. So it's kind of a real inconvenience, no doubt about it. So some people just say, heck with it. They give up, and that's what this article is talking about. The inventory of homes on the market averaged 3.7 million in each of the 2009's first 3 months, According to data from the National Association of Realtors last year, the average monthly rate was 4.2 million properties. That's lots. Bunch. There were 130.4 million homes in the U.S. in the first quarter, the Census Bureau said, in addition to the 2.1 million empty properties for sale. The report counted 4.2 million vacant homes for rent and 4.9 million seasonal properties that are only used for part of the year. Foreclosures are included in part of the Census Bureau, in a part of the Census Bureau that also includes vacation homes intended for year-round use and homes that are unoccupied because they're under renovation. There were 7.9 million such properties empty in the first quarter, up from 7.5 million a year earlier. My goodness. Foreclosures could also be counted as vacant homes for sale or rent, or as owner-occupied properties if the lenders have not yet evicted the previous owners, the agency said. Here's a little bit on the job losses. The economy has lost about 5.1 million jobs since the recession began in December of 2007, the biggest drop of the post-war era. Excuse me. Economists surveyed by Bloomberg in early April said unemployment probably will rise to 9.5% by the end of the year, up from March's 25-year high of 8.5%. But we know those numbers are quite low. We've heard much higher numbers than that. The share of mortgages in foreclosure rose to an all-time high of 3.3% in the fourth quarter, the Mortgage Bankers Association said in a March 5th report. Delinquencies, or the percentage of home loans that have payments 30 days or more overdue, increased to 7.88% of the home loans, so on, the highest in records dating back to 1972. See, the housing market's in trouble, folks, as you all know. Unemployment's not looking good either. Let's go on to something else. You may have heard last night, if you're listening to Lee Rogers' broadcast, a gentleman from Texas called in. I think his name was John. And he and his partner have been driving all over looking for ammo, and they were wanting to have some reports from other parts of the country. They'd gone to Academy and Walmart and some of the other places around trying to find ammo. So I just jumped on the telephone and called the Academy Sports up in Joplin, Missouri, on Rangeline, and I asked them for a list of items to see if they had any of them. I asked them if they had any CCI primers for small or large Magnum handguns, and they said they had none. Any handgun powder, Hogden's, Green Dot, Red Dot, any of that? No, they had no handgun powder for reloading. So without powder and without primer, you could have all the brass in the world, but you'll never have a round that fires. About 22 jacketed hollow points? Nope, none of those. 7.62 by 39 jacketed hollow points? Nope, none of them. 38 Special Plus P jacketed hollow points? Nope, none of them. 357 Magnum jacketed hollow point? Nope, none of them. 12 gauge double lot buck? 2 3/4 inch? Nope, none of them. I'd say the report was pretty accurate that John gave us, and I appreciate that. And we're having the same kind of phenomena locally. You might want to get on the internet or go to your catalog providers and see what you could find out there. But I did ask them whether or not they were pretty well stocked still for running shoes. They said yes, they had lots of running shoes, different colors and different sizes. And I wondered if they had any covered tarps, and they did. So I guess you can run, and I guess you can hide, but you'll never be able to fight back. We'll be right back.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail, and it's a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.org or Broadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
And we have returned. You know, I was asked not long ago by an associate, I'll put it that way, someone that I know, an acquaintance, that would be a way to say it, you know, in regards to buying weapons, and I was shocked that this particular individual had none, and he was kind of asking about what kind of guns and things like that he might want to look into. Of course, I have my favorites, and so on and so forth. But then when we got around to the question of ammunition, I said, basically, if you spend $100 on a weapon, you know, look to spend at least twice that amount on your ammunition. If you buy a 1911 from a gun shop and you pay $700 for it, you know, put $1,400 into the bullets, because the bullets are the gun, really. I mean, the gun is just the handle. It's the handle, it's the thing that carries the bullets. And so anyway, we don't need to belabor that point, but a gun without any ammunition is pretty much a worthless thing. I mean, it looks pretty on the wall, but it's of a very limited value. So rather have a tomahawk in a situation like that. At least you could make a fire if you needed it, but a gun without ammo is pretty valueless. Let's go back into our discussion. We started on anarchism a while back. A couple of days ago, four or five parts into this little series. Yesterday, we picked up some material. As I mentioned, I went out to a flea market again and scored another great book. This one's Western Civilizations. It's a textbook in the sixth edition, college-level textbook. Edward McNall Burns is the author of this. And we started out a little bit about the Egyptian civilization. Now, I've read quite a ways into this book. I have other things to do, but unfortunately, when these new books come into my possession, I just can't help myself. But it's also timely, because when we understand rightly this concept of what is an anarch, a no leader or a no ruler or no priest, it's based upon the concept that there is a higher law. And from the beginning of recorded history, whether we're talking about Egypt, which we started with yesterday, or whether we go back to Sumer or Babylon, there is plenty of evidence to see that most folk at the time had these concepts that there was some kind of a creational event. There were all manner and sundry different ways of writing it up. Nevertheless, almost everyone can understand that this world that we live on didn't just come into existence, you know, by gradualism. This thing had to be made just like we had to be made. And somewhere along the way, there was that first spark that made man and the first spark that made lions and tigers and bears and armadillos and aardvarks, zebras and zygotes. Pretty well just about everyone in history has that conception. But there is this idea or this thread where people would rather be led by the creator as opposed to having man ruling over them. And that really is the warp and the woof of the idea of anarch or anarchy. It has little or much less to do with government than it has to do with rulers by man, rather to have a rule of law, if you will, than a rule by man. So we started in yesterday and we talked about the Egyptian civilization getting started, and in that we find this really interesting little part, and I'll just repeat it again, that no separation of church and state existed in the Old Kingdom, that's Egypt. The Pharaoh's chief subordinates were the priests, and he himself was the chief priest, but he had other agents also, a vizier or prime minister, a royal treasurer, a chief architect, a superintendent of public works, a chief justice, and 42 nomarchs. So when we're studying arcs and anarchs, now my antennas are up for arcs, marks, nomarchs. And of course we saw that a nome was much like it was a city-state, and each of the city-states in Egypt were independent, and so there was a number of these nomes, like Nome, Alaska, that existed. So with that in our under our belt, we can move forward a little bit and simply look at the next level of understanding here. The old government, there's so much to understand here that, the guy in the fish hat doesn't really have the corner on the whole process of religion or theology or any of that. Much of that is very, very late, thousands of years and later than these antecedent civilizations. And we talk also in this about the development of cultures, and then as culture develops and solidifies, if you will, amongst a people, then these civilizations rise up out of that. I also gave you the little brief definition on states versus nations out of the same book. These are things to keep in our mind. A state must not be confused with a nation. The latter is an ethnic concept used to designate a people bound together by ties of language, custom, or racial origin, or by common memories, or a belief in a common destiny. So we have these nations, these tongues, these tribes, and these creeds, the nations, the Blackfoot Nation, the Sioux Nation, the Pawnee Nation, etc. And then we have states, and state is a whole nother discussion, and should be never confused one with the other. States owe their origins largely to war, and we find that even when we go into the writings of Thomas Paine, the origin of the state was probably the consequence, here our author writes, of a variety of factors. We're certainly justified in assuming the development of agriculture to have been one of the most important. And in the minds of Thomas Jefferson, of course, the various states had agricultural roots. And then in the eyes of Hamilton, they had financial, mercantile, industrial, manufacturing roots. Dropping down a little bit further here, in sections like the Nile Valley, where a numerous population lived by cultivating intensively a limited area of fertile soil, a high degree of social organization was absolutely necessary or essential. Ancient customs would not suffice for the definition of rights and duties in such a society, with its high standard of living, its unequal distribution of wealth, and its wide scope for the clash of personal interests. So when we think back, we don't need states, we don't need government, we don't need this, we don't need that, you can't really find it any place in history to support that argument. And as we've studied with anarchism, even though they rail against the state, they rail against the machine, they rail against government, ultimately it's for the purpose of tearing down one system and building another. Man is a social creature. We always do much better when there are multiples of us. we don't do well at all when we're just onesie twosies. You can make it, you can be self-reliant for a while, but there's more to life than that. Generally, you need to get restocked. So we can drop down and look through a little bit more of this, pick up the Egyptian civilization in the government of the Middle Kingdom, which was notably weaker than that of the Old Kingdom. Dynasties of the pharaohs continued a nominal rule, but extensive authority gravitated into the hands of these nomarchs and the nobles of lesser rank. The glory of these men was to govern as benevolent despots, performing in their local bailiwicks the functions rightfully belonging to the head of state. And so this is delegation, authority ruled by delegation, if you will. None of these benevolent despots could rise really up against the pharaoh because they just would be outnumbered and overwhelmed. And so they yet were given their head. It was like you're riding a horse and you'll throw the reins down, lay the reins down gently across their neck, and the horse will just keep right on going, and you don't have to sit there yanking on the cord all the time. You can guide him with your knees or guide him with your heels a little bit, and the horse will generally find the best path to go in the direction that you headed him out in the first place. Till he's hungry or thirsty, and then he'll find water or food. And if you're good and smart, you'll let him do that. Anyhow, going on down further here, near the end of the 17th century, the rulers of Upper Egypt launched a revolt against the Hyksos, a movement which was eventually joined by most of the natives of the valley. By 1580, all of the conquerors who had not been killed or enslaved had been driven from the country. And then we start coming into this more modern period of time. And that is interesting as well, when we start getting into the idea of Amen and the Amenhoteps and Aton and all of that, Akhenaten. So let's drop into that section of it. This degradation of the religion at the hands of the priests into a system of magical practices finally resulted in a great reformation or religious revolution. And we've seen that in the Catholic faith as well, through the degradation of the religion at the hands of the priests and the Jesuits into a system of magical practices resulted finally in the Great Reformation of 1517. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, April the 28th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local as we begin our second hour, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. We're on the web, vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info. My name is William Robertson. In the first hour, we went through our market reports and the market news. We find that the unemployment is up, the households are empty, the prices of real estate are very high in Dubai and in other places. And then we went back and began into our study of anarchism and anarchy, trying to wrap our minds around this concept so that we can rightly understand these things before we just rapidly embrace them and take them and run them up the flagpole like some kind of a standard. There's a lot to all of this. There's a lot to trying to figure out just what on earth is wrong, not only with our country, but around the world, as these various and sundry global social scientists, the super social scientists, have so altered our knowledge bank that we are basically walking around bare naked at a time when, you know, foxholes and hand grenades would be very handy. Anyway, going back into this a little bit, just started to touch on the beginning of the rule of Amenhotep IV. But before we do that, let's talk just a little bit about the religion inside of Egypt so that we can comprehend that. And then we'll go over, perhaps, if not today, we'll get into it tomorrow. We'll take a look at what was going down in Sumer and Babylon, how all that started, Mesopotamia, and compare the two civilizations. And civilizations they were. They rose out of nations, tongues, tribes, and creeds of people. But they became civilizations, and they're the two greatest, biggest ones, the baddest ones that we know of, taking into account anything that may have sunk into the Atlantic or Pacific Oceans, which we have very little knowledge of, or things that archaeologists alone will find in the centuries ahead, perhaps if we are so fortunate as to live long enough, if the globalists will just back off on their etch-a-sketch of the human race. Nevertheless, going back into this again, let's just pick up a little bit from the Egyptian religion. This is so very important to understand, because some of the civilizations that have been around, particularly this, the Babylonian First Empire, they have had such lousy faith systems, belief systems, that their whole civilization reflected that, and they did very poorly, and they lived unimaginatively. They lived short lives in grinding poverty and misery. And so no matter where you stand in the faith cycle, having something to believe in helps to improve the quality of your life. And if all of the people that live in an area believe along the same lines, then you all kind of are moving together instead of fighting and moving apart. Our founders were aware of that. They had various backgrounds, but they took on a costume of uniformity, if you will. The Egyptian religion. Here we go. Religion played a dominant role in the life of the ancient Egyptians. The Greek description of the Egyptians as the quote-unquote most religious of men is something of an exaggeration, and yet there's no denying that belief in the supernatural was as important to the culture of the Nile Valley as to any other civilization, past or present. Religion left its impress upon almost every department of Egyptian life. The art was an expression of religious symbolism. The literature and philosophy were suffused with religious teachings. The government of the Old Kingdom was to a large extent a theocracy. And even the military pharaohs and of the empire professed to rule in the name of the god. We'll pick it up on the other side and continue the name of the god.
Travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book.
Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information, is only a page away.
First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy, my name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back once again to the Tuesday, April the 28th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. We're going into the second hour. Hope you caught the first hour. If you didn't, it's available on the archives. Be sure and access the archives. I throw out a lot of material every single day. Seem to talk from the opening bell right straight through to the closing bell in both hours. It's the way it goes, I guess. Got a lot on my mind, a lot to say, a lot of research that I've done in the years past that are all linked together in a nice, long, tidy chain, and I'd like to bring this material out. We've got so much to cover in the months ahead and so little time to get all this material out. There are things that we need to do, but at the same time, if we act according to knowledge, if we carefully research our history, as they say, and visualize the future, I like to think of a future that is where we're moving constantly into a greater and greater measure of freedom and in a way further and further from all forms of despotism, tyranny, and control. If we can all get on that page, then we can perhaps start to collectively, hate to use the term, but we do have tremendous amount of power. There's tremendous amount of power in the synergistic impact of man's mind. We can call into existence the world we want to live in rather than this pig pile that the globalist agenda with their very ugly, dark mentality have in mind for us. But it helps to understand their psychology and their philosophy and certainly their religions. And so that's what we talk about on this broadcast, Become Vocal Local. Going into it a little bit further, we just discovered it in the opening segment that the Egyptian religion, the government of the Old Kingdom, was to a large extent a theocracy, and even the military pharaohs of the empire professed to rule in the name of God. Isn't that typical? Nevertheless, there's great motivation and great power in this God concept. And it helps the people to have a sense of being. And in Egypt, as opposed to Sumer and Babylon, it had the ability to give the people a sense of well-being, and their civilization, as it rose from a culture, prospered in this vision of a common God. Economic energy and material resources in considerable amounts were squandered in providing elaborate tombs and in maintaining a costly ecclesiastical system, as I'm sure the billions of Catholics worldwide can understand. Lots of considerable amounts of resources are squandered providing elaborate tombs and in maintaining costly ecclesiastical systems, but there are few religions that are exempt from that rule. The religion of the ancient Egyptians evolved through the various stages from simple polytheism to a philosophic monotheism. I know. The Hebrew boys would like to claim monotheism as their forte, but they were thousands of years late. In the beginning, each city or district appears to have had its local deities, who were guardians or gods of the locality or personifications of nature powers. And you'll see that over and over and over again. Throughout thousands of years of history, it's always one of these two. Guardians of cities and personifications of natural power. The laws of nature and of nature's God. The unification of the country under the Old Kingdom resulted not only in the consolidation of territory, but in a fusion of the divinities as well. All of the guardian deities were merged into the great sun god Re or Ra. In later times, with the establishment of the Theban dynasty and control of the government, this deity was commonly called Amun, or Amun-Ra, from the name of the chief god of the Thebes. So even though it's so often written A-M-O-N, or A-M-M-O-N, Amun, Amun-Ra, Re, Amun-Re, even though it's so often written that way, it also happens to be the last word in the Bible. The King James Bible ends that way. So many times I get challenged on biblical questions. You just ask that challenger, what is the first word in the Bible and what is the last? Ask that question to the listening audience right now. Can you correctly answer the question? What is the first word in the Bible and what is the last? Few can answer that question. But if you know that the Bible begins with Bereshith and ends with Amun, then you understand that it runs from mystery to mystery. And if you don't understand that it runs from mystery to mystery, how are you going to tell me about what's happening in between those two words? Bereshith is a huge mystery. Amun is being revealed to us right now. Anyway, the gods who personified the vegetative powers of nature were fused into a deity or a deity called Osiris, who was also the god of the Nile. Throughout Egyptian history, these two great powers who ruled the universe, Re and Osiris, vied with each other for supremacy. Other deities, as we shall see, were recognized also, but they occupied a distinctly subordinate place. And for those who joined late or just have tuned in, I'm working from a book, a text, Western Civilizations, the 6th edition, published by or written by Edward McNall Burns, published originally in the early 1940s, and I have the original 1961 edition open in front of me. This is a college textbook on Western civilizations, and we're in the section about Egypt. So continuing here, he says, during the period of the Old Kingdom, the solar faith, embodied in the worship of Ra, or Re, was the dominant system of belief. It served as an official religion whose chief functions was to give immortality to the state and to the people collectively. This is important because it's that idea of the immortality of the state and the people that really fire up the minds of man. Right now, as we're coming under attack by this globalist cabal and we're looking at the destruction of our economic system, we no longer recognize our political systems, and we see so many people unemployed and so much, we had the gentleman, Galen Chadwick come on, And he told us the truth when he talked about our lack of ability to provide food for ourselves, our dependency on so many foreign providers, and the fact that we have had many different fruit trees and nuts and apples and vegetables and even the chickens and the chickens and all the rest of that are running extinct. Yes, they are. If we don't keep these various seed supplies going, they just go extinct. They aren't any more of them. Don't make no more of the stuff. Some of these old laying flocks, some of the chickens, the poultry. If we don't keep these older breeds going, the traditional older breeds going, they just go extinct. Then all we have are these, you know, hot wings that you get from 7-Eleven or wherever you happen to buy them. These birds, I don't know if you've ever raised them. I have. The white ones. The white ones. I'm not going to tell you the kinds because it would give away the places, and so they don't need to go there. But anyway, I've raised a gob and a bunch of them white birds and white chickens. Chickens. They're mostly meat birds. They're a crossbreed. They make wonderful eggs. They make wonderful meat, and they're a fantastic bird, but they're completely hybrid. There are other stocks and other varieties that are far lighter weight birds, eat way less. They go and scratch for their food, and they produce fine little eggs, and they do just fine for meat, but they're not hybrids. We'll be back on the other side. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor. Absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Thank you.
And we are back once again right here on Become Vocal Local. The call-in numbers, folks, are 866-841-1065 and in the Austin, Texas area, 512-904-8014 to take Oracle on the road or to call in locally if you have unlimited long-distance access. Going back into this a little bit more extensively here, we're trying to wrap our minds around this Egyptian religion, and we're going to find that this is very very reminiscent of a religion that you might have heard downtown somewhere where you live. But anyway, they're something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue, and certainly we see Ra and Osiris figuring heavenly here. Continuing along, the Pharaoh was the living representative of this faith on earth. Through his rule, the rule of the God was maintained. But we also see in all of this that it's important that this official religion is important, because for the people and for the pharaohs, it gave them the idea of immortality of the state, immortality of the rulers, and immortality of the people collectively. And so they live on through their belief systems. And that's your culture, your tribe, your tongue, your creed, and all of that. And that's useful. It's a good thing. shouldn't be denied that it's a good thing, because people will work together and they bring in the annual harvest and they do all of this other stuff, and they have common customs and traditions. And it doesn't make any difference really in the long term, I don't think, whether you worship the rutabaga, the Easter bunny, or the guy on the cross. As long as this is what y'all believe and you get along with each other doing it, it gives you that hope, that looking forward. I don't think any of us will know who the great Crom is until we get to the mountain and experience the riddle of steel, to use a line borrowed now from the chat room. Anywho, this Ra, was not only a guardian deity, he was in addition, the God of righteousness, justice, and truth, and the upholder of the moral order of the universe. And so from this we can see the grain of the idea of the laws of nature and of nature's God, here in this case, Ra, or Ra. The solar faith was not a religion for the masses as such, except insofar as their welfare coincided with that of the state. And so it was a state religion, but not in any more than other than that the success of the state depended upon their worship of this religion. Kind of worked hand in hand. The cult of Osiris, as we've already observed, began its existence as a nature religion, much as we're starting to see the greens, and we reported on that, all the green weenies out there worshiping the three-toed tree frogs and concerned about water lilies. The cult of Osiris, as we've already observed again, began its existence as a nature religion. The god personified the growth of vegetation and the life-giving power along the Nile. The career of Osiris was wrapped about with an elaborate legend, and in the remote past, according to belief, he had been a benevolent ruler who taught his people agriculture and other practical arts and gave them laws. After a time, he was treacherously slain by his wicked brother Set. And you can see some of that in Cain and Abel, where Abel was the gardener, if you will. Or no, Abel was the pastoralist, and Cain was the Osirian. He was the nature guy. He's the guy that came with a big cornucopia of fruits and nuts. Anyway. After a time, he was treacherously slain. Again, this is Osiris, slain by his wicked brother Set, son Set, and his body cut into pieces. We all know that story. His wife Isis, so now we've got Isis, Osiris, Ra, and Ra. You can see how it just expands, limited only by the creativity of the priests. His wife Isis, who was also his sister, and that lines up with the way that they lived, inbreeding was something that they did. All of the pharaohs had to marry someone from their immediate family. And they could have concubines and such. That's the same in Babylon, Egypt, both similar in that regard. But they married to preserve their bloodlines from within their own immediate family. you get this inbreed bunch of mongrels. Well, and no reason to go into the insane. His wife Isis, who was also his sister, went in search of the pieces and put them together and miraculously restored his body to life. This author fails to mention the body part that was not found. The risen God regained his kingdom and continued his beneficent rule for a time, but eventually descended to the netherworld to serve as a judge of the dead. Seems to me we have a parallel there, do we not? About somebody descending to the netherworld and judging the dead. Horus, now we have Horus, his posthumous son, finally grew to manhood and avenged his father's death by killing Set. Son Set, right? Originally, this legend seems to have been little more than a nature myth. The death and resurrection of Osiris, symbolized by the recession of the Nile in the autumn and the coming of the flood in the spring. But in time, the Osiris legend began to take on a deeper significance. The human qualities of the deities concerned, the paternal solicitude of Osiris for his subjects, the faithful devotion of his wife and son, it appealed to the emotions of the average Egyptian, who was now able to see his own tribulations and triumphs mirrored in the lives of the gods. And this is what it's all about. It gives people something to believe in. It gives people hope. Needn't run any deeper than that. But at the same time, it should not be overlooked. And we'll find that when we get over to the the Tigris and the Euphrates. We'll find that when we get over into Sumer and Babylon, a people without hope. Didn't do too well. Continuing here, more important still, the death and resurrection of Osiris came to be regarded as conveying a promise of personal immortality for man. As the god had triumphed over death and the grave, doesn't that sound familiar? Of course, I know our author is familiar with both stories here. I don't know how much he is in adding to this, but nevertheless, it's a good overview, I think. As the god had triumphed over death and the grave, so might the individual also who followed him faithfully inherit everlasting life. It's rather familiar also. Finally, the victory of Horus over Set appeared to foreshadow the ultimate ascendancy of good over evil. So they're introducing lots of concepts as this well over a thousand years as this religion grew, the legends grew. With the growing perception of these implications, the cult of Osiris gradually became the more popular branch of the Egyptian religion. The worship of the sun god Ra required such lofty powers of abstraction that it made little appeal to the average man, so the study of Ra or Ra lost its ascendancy. It quit rising every morning, yes. The result was not altogether fortunate. Osiris was essentially a god of the dead. He bestowed no rewards upon men in this life, and as a consequence of his worship, the minds of the Egyptian masses were oriented more and more toward the afterlife. Too much emphasis came to be placed upon winning salvation in the world to come. And don't we see that today? Don't worry about those poor Palestinians, just cheer on the church. Too much emphasis came to be placed upon winning salvation in the world to come again, and not enough upon cooperation with Ra to promote the reign of righteousness in the world. One of the most disappointing comments that I've heard in public while manning a booth at a local fair, county fair. We were handing out all kinds of literature trying to bring people around, waking them up several years ago, and a man and his wife looked at the material that we had, and I was trying to engage him in a conversation. He says, we don't have to worry about that. We're going to be resurrected, you know. Or we're going to be, no, they're going to be sucked up into heaven just in time to watch the horror show on earth. And then they'll come back and rule forever, right? Oh, my. Anyway, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back, and the call-in number, folks, if it so moves you, is 866-841-1065. We're talking about the Egyptian religions, their significance today, their significance then, how important it is for people to have some system of belief, especially when they come together as a nation, or if they live in a state. States and nations, belief systems, common cultures, tongues, tribes, creeds, all of that, absolutely essential. And it's gone through various transmorphications over the years, transmorphed. It's morphed into various and sundry different things. A note from the chat room, and thank you for that, helped me to remember the word is rapture. Oh, we don't have to worry about what's going on today. We don't have to concern ourselves with the economic woes of the nation. We don't have to worry about the Gaza Strip being, you know, turned into a rubble pile by the power mad land crazy Israeli Zionist community. We don't need to worry about any of that, man. We're going to be raptured out of here. What a sad and sorry testimony. C.I. Schofield in his Schofield Reference Bible. Sad, sad, sad story that so many people have bit into that one. Nevertheless, it'll be a bad day for them on that day when they realize that they have been deceived once again. It's a horrible thing in religion, you know. You live your life up to the time of being an adult, let's say, and you make a lot of mistakes, things your conscience is tugging at you. You know, if there was ever a hell on earth, it's the one that exists in your own head between your ears. your conscience just has a way of gnawing at you. And so maybe you decide, man, I've done it all wrong here. I've been following my own will, and it's time to follow thy will instead. Not my will, but thy will be done. And so you start thinking along spiritual lines, and you get a Bible, you know, you didn't want to really, maybe, or you, you know, pick one up and kept the Gideon's Bible out of a hotel or something, and you sit down and you kind of read it quietly in the closet somewhere. And after many years in your closet, you start to realize that, boy, there's more to life than I thought. There's something more to this religion deal than I thought. And so off you trundle to the church. And so here you come to the church, and you're ready to repent and turn from your wicked ways, and you're ready to give up your my will and start to embrace the thy will, and you get down on your knees at the altar there and beg for forgiveness. And at that very moment when you come looking, you know, in this penitent state, in this selfless state, it's at that very moment that when you come seeking the truth and the light and all of that, that you're given a lie. I can't think of anything more damaging than that for a people. It would be so much better if we would just stick with the truth and allow the truth to reign and forget about all of this nonsense with man. But if we can understand the nonsense of man, then we can also understand that even things like the Easter Bunny and Satan Claus can be useful for the society, the people. They can. They give people hope. They give somebody something to look forward to. And it keeps getting your feet on the ground every morning and helps you to go through your day. It gets you through all of the work that leads you up to the annual harvest. But let's go back to Egypt here. According to the Egyptian notion, the heart represented the conscience, which would betray the person who testified falsely. Oh, I should continue and get the rest of it out of it. The dead were now believed to appear before Osiris to be judged according to their deeds on earth. So you can see this idea of the white throne judgment here in this. I should jump up even further. I skipped the great part. I really shouldn't do that. Osiris, again, was essentially a god of the dead. He bestowed no rewards upon men in this life. This is an excellent overview of this Egyptian religion. Too much emphasis came to be placed upon winning salvation in the world to come, and not enough upon cooperation with Ra to promote the reign of righteousness in this world. That's where that rapture thing came in. The solar faith did not die out during the time of the Middle Kingdom, but it was clearly reduced to second place. Egyptian ideas of the hereafter attained their full development in the later history of the Middle Kingdom. Soon after the beginning of this period, the religion had come to include the conception of a ba, or soul, in addition to the idea of a ka, or a double. So you have both the ba, your soul, and your ka is the double, your double. And both were regarded as surviving the death of the individual. The ba took flight in the form of a bird. The ka wandered off in much the same way that the other self might travel to different places in a dream while the body was locked in sleep. Both the ba and the ka would eventually return and revivify the body if it were still in existence. And for this reason, elaborate preparations had to be made to prevent the extinction of one's earthly remains. Not only were bodies mummified, but wealthy men left munificent endowments to provide for their mummies with food and other essentials. As the religion advanced toward maturity, however, there was a less naive conception of the afterlife was adopted. Now, before I go to the next section here, I'll just simply say that if you look back at the various funerary papyruses and scrolls and things and writings on the walls, the hieroglyphs and the pictographs, you can see these images, the bird is in there. And oftentimes as well, you'll see these very white, if you will, just outlined or silhouette peoples. A lot of those white, not colored in, not pigmented outlines of peoples are these ideas of a ka, or their double. They're both, the soul, the bird, and the ka, surviving you in death. But anyway, it began to morph. The dead were now believed to appear before Osiris to be judged according to their deeds on earth. The process of judgment occupied three stages. In the first, the deceased was required to declare his innocence of 42 sins, including murder, theft, untruthfulness, greed, adultery, blasphemy, loss of temper, pride, and dishonesty in business transactions. Having thus acquitted himself of this catalog of vices, the deceased was then obliged to assert his virtues. He must avow that he had satisfied the needs of the gods, that he had given bread to the hungry, water to the thirsty, clothing to the naked, and a ferry to him who was without a boat. In the third and final stage, the heart of the defendant was weighed in the balance against a feather, the symbol of truth, in order to determine the accuracy of his statements or testimony. And according to the Egyptian notion, the heart represented the conscience, which would betray the person who testified falsely. So we can see, even in the various drawings, the look of the heart that the Egyptians would draw. And it was always shown the same way. It looks like a little head, really, with ears and a little bit of hair on the top, but it's the heart. And so many times throughout history, this idea of the heart being the conscience, my heart is just broken. My heart grieves. Does the heart grieve, my friends, or is it a pump? Is everything happening between our ears? Is my idea that the body is largely just a vessel, that a chalice that carries around the brain and the spirit, the mind, and all of that is in the brain? Or is there actually something going on in the heart? Is there actually something going on in our gut as well? Hard to say. The electricity goes throughout our entire existence. You've probably seen those various, what do they call them, holograms? Not a hologram, no. It's a Curlian photography. You know, you can see the energy of the body and plants and other things. Used to be really into that when I was off into pyramids long, long time ago. Anywho, back into this again. All of the departed who met these tests included in the system of judgment entered a celestial realm of physical delights and simple pleasures. And from that we can see some of what is carried on into Islam. But it's also our idea of heaven. Here in marshes of lilies and lotus flowers, they would hunt wild geese and quail with never-ending success, or they might build houses in the midst of the orchards with luscious fruits of unfailing yield. They would find lily lakes on which to sail, pools of sparkling water in which to bathe, and shady groves inhabited by singing birds in every manner of gentle creature. The unfortunate victims whose hearts revealed their vicious lies were condemned to perpetual hunger and thirst in a place of darkness, forever cut off from the glorious light of Re or Ra. So we can see so much of what the Hebrew boys picked up and included in their writings found right here in this very much, much earlier Egyptian religion. The Egyptian religion attained its highest perfection about the end of the Middle Kingdom and the beginning of the Empire. By this time, the solar faith and the cult of Osiris had been merged in such a way as to preserve the best features of both. See, so the idea of the inspired word of God indelibly, inscribed upon the hearts of man with the very finger of God, the omniscient, omnipresent, never changing. All of that has a later add-on. This other idea thought that this religion can change with the people, just as our constitutions can be amended today. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
And we're back once again right here on Become Vocal Local in the last segment of today's broadcast. Again, those call-in numbers are 866-841-1065. If you'd like to call in, calls are welcome. But I'm going to finish up this bit on the Egyptian religion. Why are we here? Why are we doing this? Why am I bringing this out? Well, first of all, looking in the chat room, I can see that we all have come from different places to this little internet homeschool classroom, if you will. Got different research under our belts, different points of view, different belief systems. And that's part of the problem that we have in America. We're so divided in all of these things, and it's not by accident that this has come about. Part of the reason why the Reformation, was created, if you will, in the minds of Johann Reuchlin and, Philip Melanchthon and, Martin Luther and the others behind him, but also Zwingli and there's just so many who go on to Desiderius Erasmus and all of the cast of characters, if you will. Part of all of that was to put an end to this one big religion, this one great big tent, if you will, which in itself had split up into a multitude of various branches. And we'll cover that maybe on another broadcast. But this idea here of looking at the real roots of these different faiths. Actually, it's the same faith with different names and different times. And I'm trying to draw that out. But today we'll deal with the Egyptian religion, and then tomorrow we'll look into the Babylon Sumer. But the whole idea here is we're trying to come around, wrap our mind around what is an anarch. What is an anarch? The root of anarchy and anarchism. So that we can understand when, just like the deception that we hear from this, you know, Bugs and Bunny Group, the Transition 09 team, if you went on that website, wellfedneighboralliance.com and did as I asked and click on all of the things and pull it down and check out every one of those hot links as I did over the weekend. What a mess. What a mess, unfortunately, over such an important issue. If we could keep ourselves from aligning, making those alliances with all these, you know, sustainable mercenaries out of England. Prince Charles, a sustainable prince. If we can avoid that in our lives, we will be well ahead. Let's focus on our fruit trees. Let's focus on our gardens, but let's not get into bed with the beast. And so here, we go back in and finish this up. The Egyptian religion, attained its highest perfection about the end of the Middle Kingdom and the beginning of the Empire. By this time, the solar faith and the cult of Osiris had been merged in such a way as to preserve the best of both features. And we see some of that in the Reformation of the Christian religion. The province of Re as the god of the living, as the champion of the good in this world, was accorded almost equal importance with the functions of Osiris as the giver of personal immortality and the judge of the dead. The religion was now quite clearly an ethical one. Men repeatedly avowed their desire to do justice because such conduct was pleasing to the great sun god. You see, this has to do with how we get along one with another in our systems. Instead of having the reign of law, where we have all these black-robed creatures and the legislators, the lawmakers, ruling over us, we're supposed to have the rule of law, which is a lot different concept. One of them is deeply steeped in social democracy, and the other is deeply steeped in liberty and freedom. And it's a quality choice. Choices do have consequences. Very soon after the establishment of the empire, the religion, which has just been described, underwent a serious debasement. Its ethical significance was largely destroyed, and superstition and magic gained the ascendancy. And we can see that today here in our world, thousands of years removed. The chief cause seems to have been that the long and bitter war for the expulsion of the Hyksos fostered the growth of irrational attitudes and correspondingly depreciated the intellect. These Hyksos. It's a lot on that. We could teach on that one. Who are the Hyksos? I think you know. As soon as I told you, you would recognize it immediately. Nevertheless, let's continue. The result was a marked increase in the power of the priests, who preyed upon the fears of the masses to promote their own advantage. Greedy for gain, they inaugurated the practice of selling magical charms, which were supposed to have the effect of preventing the heart of the diseased from betraying his real character. That's kind of like the Kol Nidre vow. We can go on to that. The aggregate of these formulas constituted what is referred to as the Book of the Dead. Contrary to general impression, it was not an Egyptian Bible, but merely a collection of mortuary inscriptions. A lot to study in that Egyptian Book of the Dead. Some of them proclaimed the moral purity of the deceased. Others threatened the gods with disaster unless the persons whose names they bore were granted eternal reward. All of them were purchased in the belief. Remember, you know, you go to the Catholic Church and you buy indulgences. It's like the original courts of equity, if you will, and the courts of equity in England, where you buy your way around a law, where the law doesn't cover your issue, where you're allowed to marry outside of your family, you're allowed to marry someone else. You can buy it from the church. Indulgences. Papal bull, if you ask me. Contrary to the general impression, it was not an Egyptian Bible again, but merely a collection of mortuary inscriptions. Dropping down a bit further here, all of them were purchased in the belief that they guaranteed an entrance into the kingdom of Ra, or kingdom of Re, or into the kingdom of the sun, or into the kingdom of God. Good deeds made a clear conscience were now considered outmoded. Very important. It's no longer doing right. It's no longer your action that counted. It was how much money you had to be able to pay off the priest to get the three-finger blessing or the two-finger blessing. The leader of this movement, this degradation of religion at the hands of the priests into a system of magical practices, finally resulted in a great reformation or religious revolution. The leader of this movement was the pharaoh Amenhotep IV, who began his reign about 1375 BC. After some fruitless attempts to correct the most flagrant abuses, he resolved to crush the system entirely. Sometimes you just have to abolish the established two-party political system. Sometimes you just have to correctly diagnose the disease and cure the disease and all those symptoms and victims go away. He drove the priests from the temples. Sound familiar? Hacked the names of the traditional deities from the public monuments and commanded his people to worship a new god whom he called Aton, an ancient designation for the physical sun. He changed his own name from Amenhotep, Amenres, to Ikhnaten, which means Atan is satisfied. Akhenaten is the name by which he is commonly known in history. More important than these physical changes was a new set of doctrines enunciated by the reforming pharaoh. According to eminent authorities, he taught, first of all, a religion of universal monotheism. Atan, he declared, was the only god in existence, the god not merely of Egypt, but of the whole universe. He restored the ethical quality of the national religion at its best by insisting that Atan was the author of the moral order of the world and the rewarder of men for integrity and purity of heart. And here we find the laws of nature and nature's God, the creator of the universe. A belief system that continues to today. And the rewarder of men for their integrity and the purity of heart. He envisioned the new God as an eternal creator and sustainer of all that is beneficent to men or of benefit to men. And as the heavenly Father who watches with benevolent care over all his creatures. Conceptions like these of unity, righteousness, and benevolence of God were not attained again until the time of the Hebrew prophets, some 600 years later. You can see they were a little late, but at least they got it. Had it not been for the Alexander and the library at Philadelphus and his sending for the Rebbes to come and write down their understanding of things, perhaps the Bible would never have existed. They had would never have started with the Pentateuch. It may never have been there. We would all be worshiping Atan, perhaps, when somebody found this stuff. The revolution of Akhenaten was not an enduring success. The pharaohs who followed him as rulers of the empire were not inspired by the same devoted idealism. Such was particularly the case of the famous Tutankhamun, and if you can remember, perhaps some of you are too young to remember, but I remember when the funerary and all of the stuff from his tomb was paraded around the United States, and I think Tutankhamun lies someplace in common in Texas or someplace around America today. I don't know where they put him. But anyway, Tutankhamun, who allowed the corrupt and mercenary priests to regain their power. The result was a revival. Well, we'll have to deal with that on another time. We're out of time for today. Thank you for listening. I hope you've gotten something good out of this. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail, and it's a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
History will always remember those who strongest voice. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.